the anniversary itself is Tuesday, November 19th. So we're going to usher in that big day with a lot of activities on the evening of November 18th. We're going to have the museum open at night until midnight. And that evening, people can file by and see the Gettysburg Address up close and personal. They can attend entertainment that evening. We'll have music playing. We'll have dramatic readings and presentations and music going on in the theater. And then at midnight, at the moment the anniversary arrives, we'll have President Lincoln come out and deliver the Gettysburg Address. So that evening promises to be just a lot of fun, very interesting kind of alternative event.
You've been, of course, preparing for this for quite some time because you knew this anniversary was coming. Why is it important to mark this in such a big way, this 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address? Why people know that the address was important. A lot of them remember what it actually said. Why mark it in such a way?
Well, I think it's important to take a moment and think about the anniversary of lots of big events and big speeches and reflect on what they mean and how they shape the country. So just as a general proposition, I think marking anniversaries helps us take stock of the past. More particularly in this case, the Gettysburg Address may be the single most accessible major speech in American political history. It's so short, just 272 words. And its meaning is so crystal clear that it's something that every school child for generations has studied and many times memorized. So it's a very special speech, you know, different from so many others.
You mentioned 272 words, and you've got an essay project that you've had underway where you've asked people to write similar-sized essays. Talk about that, if you could.
Right. That's something that the Presidential Library is doing in conjunction with its foundation. The foundation asked leaders from all walks of life, from all over the country, to write 272-word essays about something that is important to them. And those essays are now on display at the museum. You can go in and see a note written by Steven Spielberg, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, President Jimmy Carter, and others, where they just all take 272 words and talk about something that matters to them, whether it's, in the case of Justice O'Connor, it's about civic education and citizenship. And in the case of President Carter, it was about how the Gettysburg Address kind of made a sudden sneak appearance during the Camp David Peace Accords. It's really fascinating.
We are talking with Chris Wills. He is Director of Communications and Public Affairs for the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum. We are talking about events that are planned for later this month, dealing with the 150th anniversary of the Gettysburg Address. Now, when the Presidential Museum and Library were built, of course, a lot of it was done to, you know, there was no doubt it was done in some cases for tourism purposes for Illinois, but it was also done to honor Lincoln and to show his story. And it has done that. But in the case of something like this, where we can target a specific point in time, it really gets to the heart of what the museum is really all about, and that is to try to bring that story and educate people about Abraham Lincoln.
Right. Our museum and library are really special places in terms of bringing a fascinating historical figure to life in so many different ways. And part of the way we do that is through sort of entertainment, ways to make the president human and something that just the casual visitor will identify with and maybe want to learn more about. And some of it's with films and with lectures and with writing by scholars. So we try to really cover the waterfront in terms of the ways we bring the Abraham Lincoln story to the people. And the Gettysburg Address offers us a really wonderful opportunity to do more of that because so many people know it, or at least are familiar with it. So when we can say, hey, it is the anniversary of this little speech that you've heard bits and pieces of forever, let us tell you how that came about. Let us tell you what it meant. Come join the celebration. That's a way to grab people and expand understanding of Abraham Lincoln.
Among the highlights of these events you touched on was the fact that the Gettysburg Address, the state's copy of that, will be on display. How often does the one in Illinois get put on public display?
There are 5 copies of the Gettysburg Address written out by Lincoln himself. Only 5 in the entire world. One of them is here in Springfield. It's the only one in the Midwest. It is by far the most accessible to the public. It's not on display at all times, but it is on display fairly often. So right now, people can go in and look at this priceless, you know, irreplaceable document with their own eyes. And it's a fascinating story how it came about. It was written by Lincoln to raise money for the troops. Another speaker there at the Gettysburg Cemetery dedication asked the president for a copy of the address, and the president gave it to him, and then they included that in a book that was sold to raise money for the relief of the troops, food, blankets, medicine, that sort of stuff. And then it was in private hands for decades, and then in the 40s, the school children of Illinois contributed change, pennies with Lincoln's face on them, to raise money to buy that for the state. And so the state of Illinois was able to purchase it for something like $60,000, which, of course, you know, now it's worth many, many, many times that much.
I think when people think of presidential speeches, they often think of a speech given in a setting that might be a little more serene, a little more polished in some cases. This was delivered at the battlefield site. You know, they were still dealing with trying to bury soldiers, people who were war dead. I mean, can you talk about that? It's just in the circumstances for which he had to, you know, give this speech that day?
Well, it was a special event organized to mark the dedication of this cemetery for the soldiers who died at the Battle of Gettysburg. And so it's not like it was just, you know, on a empty field or something. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty polished event, but it was at the site of the battle itself, and they were still digging graves and moving bodies, and it must have been a pretty emotional place to be, to think that you're standing right where, what, 3 months earlier, 4 months earlier, men and women, or men from the North and the South, died in horrible, horrible ways. It must have been a very emotional time.
And before I let you go, Chris, if you can talk about anything else that you want to mention about some of these events coming up, because you do have a lot of things that are planned at the museum during these few days.
Yeah, I would just urge people to go online to get more detail. We've set up a website called GettysburgAddress150.com. GettysburgAddress150.com. And there you can find out about the evening vigil that I described. You can get links to YouTube videos of people reciting the Gettysburg Address. We've tried to get just kind of average folks involved in commemorating this. You'll find information about a special panel of experts who are going to be meeting on November 20th. We have movies that are going to be played. We have live webcasts for school children to take part in. So there's just not enough time to go into all the stuff that we've got planned. But if people visit GettysburgAddress150.com, I'm sure they'll find something that's going to, you know, tickle their fancy.